quorum. So we've opened the meeting. New board members obviously have been seated, as long as the oath of office has been signed and the election certificate is at the courthouse. So the next item on the agenda would be the election of officers.
I'd like to make a nomination and keep John as the president of Cemetery Board.
I would ask Grant, would you keep tally, keep the names listed in order as they're nominated?
Sure.
Because that would be the order of voting.
I would second that motion.
So we have a motion to start the elections? Is that good? Where we're at? Okay.
He nominated John.
For president?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess we're going. Okay. Liz, did you?
Yes.
Are there any other nominations?
No, I don't have a nomination.
Sheila?
Hold on. Make a mic. No,
I don't think Sheila has figured out how to get audio yet.
Okay. Should we just get her on the phone?
We don't have her on video, but we do have her on audio.
I know, but I don't think she knows how to turn it on her end of the computer.
Okay.
That's kind of what I understood.
We could.
He's calling her.
There you go. Conference caller. Or just...
Yeah, just call her and have her on the phone.
Hey, Sheila. Luke, can I just put you on speaker? Maybe mute Zoom there so that I don't get the echo. Sure. Wait, let's...
Can you hear me, Sheila?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
I can hear you guys.
Okay, we are electing officers at this time. That might be that.
I think you're... Can you turn your computer off, Sheila, so you don't get the feedback on our end?
Do what?
Turn the volume down on the computer. Much better.
Okay, Sheila, we're taking nominations for board officers at this time. There's been a nomination. I've been nominated. Do you have a nomination for president of the board?
I select John Hansen as the president.
Okay. Okay, there being no others, I believe I'm going according to this now, there being no other nominations, we'd take a vote, and this would just be a voice vote at this time. So all those in favor of nominating or voting for myself signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Okay, that's unanimous. So I keep the gavel.
Darn right.
Okay, now we're going to elect the vice president, and I would nominate Dave.
I'll second that.
Are there any other nominations for vice president? Liz?
No, I'm fine with that.
Sheila?
Sure, I'll agree with that.
All right, once again, there be no other nominations. All those in favor of Dave being elected vice president of the board signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, aye. So once again, it's unanimous. So Now we need nominations for the treasurer.
I nominate Barbara.
I second.
No. You don't.
Why?
That's not my forte.
Are there any other nominations?
Yes. I nominate Luke.
I second that motion.
Okay, I'll keep mine.
We don't have to have seconds on the nomination.
Oh, we don't?
I won't turn it down, but just don't vote for me.
Okay, there's been... any other nominations that... for now?
So, did you officially withdraw your name from nominations? You want that still left on the roster?
Whatever. As long as they don't vote for me.
I'll record it as officially withdrawn.
Okay, there's two nominations. The first being Barb. All those in favor of electing Barb as the treasurer, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oops, I'm sorry. Mine was no. And I can't change it.
Can't change it.
Okay.
All those against?
What's that?
Well, all those for me.
Yeah, okay.
All those for Luke?
All those for Luke signify by saying aye.
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 So what do we do there? What's this tell us?
There's a tie. And I have voted and created the tie, so the first motion for Barb would fail. Am I correct?
Do you want to just withdraw?
I think technically, simply, you usually will vote yes or no for your first nominee, and whether that passes or not, then you move to your second nominee. I think where you got your lines crossed as you tied, you went straight to Luke's.
Should have done, used papers. No, that's what we should have done. Now I'm confused.
You get to break the tie, don't you? So you can just vote for
me. No, I already voted.
I already voted.
So, I think these... do you want to just withdraw your name?
May I withdraw my name?
No, why don't we do a secret ballot?
You did it? I have ballots.
It's pretty difficult to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fair point, Liz.
I'm sorry. I wanted so much to be there today, but I don't drive on roads like that.
Yeah, don't blame.
We've got a dilemma here. Anyone that has any help on this, speak up.
I would like to withdraw from this nomination.
So then...
Okay, I guess if that's copacetic... Okay. Nominated. So we have the nomination of Luke. Luke's been nominated for the treasurer position. And no other nominations. So we'll vote all those in favor of Luke as the Lord Treasurer, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
We're getting there.
Okay, now we need a public records custodian.
What does that person do?
That's a good job. You used to be a teacher.
But what does that entail?
Is that separate than the secretary?
This is where they need deeds and all that. Just going through the files.
I believe it's an appointment. I don't know if we elect, if it's an elected position. I believe it's just an appointment. So we would have to.
I didn't quite hear what Dave said. Could you tell me what the duties of this person is?
We're going to appoint a public records custodian, and I'm trying to remember just exactly what those duties are. It has to do with recording, with the recording of the... I'm going to ask someone to help. If someone here can help, please.
The public records custodian is responsible to ensure that the public records of the district are stored and kept properly, and if someone wants information from the records, providing that information to them. It's different than the secretary.
Yeah, but it can be the secretary.
Yeah, it can be anybody on the court. It's
yeah. just, in other words, we just...
The state requires that you have a public records custodian to answer FOIA requests.
We vote for this.
We have not yet.
Where are the records kept at? Are they kept at the office there in Buffalo?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I've gotten ahead of myself. We have not elected a secretary yet. So I would take, right before we go any further, I'll take nominations for a secretary.
I would nominate Barb for secretary.
Okay, we have one nomination for Barb. Any other nominations? There being none, we'll take the vote. All those in favor of Barb as secretary of the board, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Okay, once again, it's unanimous, so Barb would be secretary. Now we have a...
Now can I make a motion to make Barb the public records custodian as part of her duties as secretary?
I believe it's just an appointment. I don't think we voted on that. I think we would just appoint her.
What does it still require a motion and action from the board to do so, to appoint?
I believe so, yeah.
So in order to get an action from the board, we have to make a motion and a second and vote on it?
Vote on it, all right. So we have a motion for Barb to be the records.
All four of those came through. So I have those on file now.
For Barbara Miller, is there a second? We have a second.
Did we get one from in there? I'm sorry, he came in as we were. Did somebody second?
I'll second the motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second to appoint Barb to the public record as a public records custodian. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All right, so that's unanimous.
Aye.
All right, now here we go. Now we go to the public comment. Are there any public comments out there? And feel free to chastise me if you want to.
Yes, I don't know if this is under public comment. I would guess probably the only time to speak since I'm not on the agenda. But I would come to the Dodge County Cemetery Board with a couple of requests. For the past 70 years, we've been, the funeral home has been allowed to store their vaults out here. I did some math. There's roughly 7 million plus square feet in the cemetery, and my vaults are going to take up 32 square feet. That's it. That's an area about from here to that table, and as wide as a casket. And we stored them here for 70 years, and it's convenient for the cemetery. It's convenient for us, and makes everything flow smoothly. I would like to be able to do that again. And the other request that I have is that since I can remember, and that's a long time ago, we've been able to store the headstones that people buy out here. And they're not my headstones, they're headstones that belong to the people that bought them, the people who own land in your cemetery, and they take up very little space, and we try to keep that area and space clean and tidy as we can. And so then there's not, you know, those people that have bought the stones, and they know where to come and look at them. They can be uncrated here, or then they wait until they're set, and then they're set. I would ask, you know, when that was taken away from me, I remember the overwhelming question that I had was, if someone bought a headstone online and had it delivered, could they have it out here until it was set? And I, you know, the people that I've asked, the 7 people that I've asked, said yes. So those are the two requests that I have right now.
I would say your problem is to bring them out there.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good on the headstones, but if he can store his vaults out here, can I store a trailer out here, a cargo trailer? I'm a citizen of Johnson County and a resident of the town.
Let me add that storing a cargo trailer out here has nothing to do with the operation of the cemetery and the convenience.
Neither does the vault or your property.
Yeah, we're not going to get into an argument on this. I'm trying to locate it, but I believe I remember reading in the cemetery district handbook that the district is not allowed to make a loan, a donation of any sort, and both of these requests would appear to me to be either a loan or a donation to a vendor.
Can I make a suggestion that we just put those items on our agenda for next month? We already have a pretty full agenda this month, and we just take those comments as comments and put them on the agenda that we can come prepared with the discussion.
Give me an opportunity to find out, because I remember reading someplace that it would be considered either we're not allowed to make loans, in other words, we can't loan out our backhoe to the private sector, and that, I believe that includes storing a vendor's supplies out here.
Let's take time to look at that, because I'd like to see like how much area it would take up, and you know, like who do they actually belong to? Do they belong to a vendor, or do they belong to Johnson County resident or something like that? We just need a little more time to research that, if that's okay, and put it on next month's agenda.
It's been noted, Dave. And I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Steve Ward.
Steve, it's been noted. And we'll check into it. We don't want to violate the state statutes. If they, you know, and I believe I've read that someplace. I'm just not going to find it, but I'll definitely look into it and we'll know by next month's meeting. And we'll put it on the agenda for next month. Any other public comments? John?
So, my name is John Zorbas. As far as the last comment, if another business, for-profit business, is allowed to store property here for free, I'm going to bring out my equipment. Because as a business, the government needs to treat me the same way as any other business. Period. And that's in the state statute. Case missed it. Second item, Ms. Mueller, you lied about the $3,000 this board was going to charge for the crypts. You boldly lied to the public about that. You also lied about the purpose of the Saturday feast. So I'm calling for you to resign, because I don't think you can be trusted or believed. Those are my comments.
How can you attack?
Just let
him
be.
Yeah. All right. Any other public comments at this time?
Okay. Sure. I'll see you.
There being none. We've signed the vouchers. I believe they're all signed now. Why did you go ahead? All right.
I did.
You go ahead and initial them so they're all initial and ready to go. All those, is there a motion to accept the vouchers as they were present?
I make a motion.
Yeah. Okay. I make a motion we accept the vouchers.
Second.
Second, there's been a motion and a second to accept the vouchers. Any other comments from the board? There being none. All those in favor of accepting the vouchers signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Those opposed signify by saying no. There being none, the vouchers have been accepted. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes of the previous meeting? If not, we're going to have to
issue them the board packets. I was able to send those,
but they were sent out early.
Yeah.
Yes.
So has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes of the past meeting? If the board in the past has not read the minutes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I just don't feel comfortable making a motion because I wasn't present for them. So if these accurately reflect them. Dave, if you were present, you feel like it accurately reflects the meeting.
I believe they accurately reflect the meeting.
Okay. All right. Okay. Then I move that we accept the minutes as
written. Yeah, so that the consensus is that the minutes have been accepted. There does not have to be a vote on accepting the minutes. Okay. Now we'll move on to the financial report.
I'm prepared to give a lengthy financial report.
Before we get started, I think we have Michael Johnson on Zoom present last fiscal year's review for your approval, so it can be sent down to the Department of Audit. So if you want to make
We can go ahead and allow him they've done the audit.
It's a review financial statement. It's not a true audit. It's a review.
A review.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. In the accounting world, we get a little particular about how things are described. So that's why we always say that, an audit is much more involved and much more expensive and is not required by the state for you guys. It's just a review financial statement is what is required by the state department audit. So, I guess, does everybody have the financial statement there in front of them?
It should be in the board packets, right, with the financial report section. I believe it's the last article in the financial report section.
Our responsibility with this is to basically we take the books and we take your budget and we compare what Chanda has posted in the QuickBooks and compare that to the budget, and then we look to see if there's any material modifications to how things are presented. There are no modifications. There were no journal entries. We didn't need to change anything that Chanda posted. In the QuickBooks, everything was in good order. I guess, and I'm sure you guys are probably aware that as we get through 2022, that you guys were, as far as revenues from property taxes and those sorts of things, you were actually up over budget. And then as far as expenses go, you guys were actually a little bit under budget. And that's on page 3, we have the two columns, which is budget and actual, and that's where you can see the income. Property taxes were up over budget, motor vehicle fees were up over budget, and your expenses were about 15 grand under budget, as far as what you guys have been anticipating from what they would be. Your cash increased $10,881 from June 30th, 2021 to June 30th, 2022. And obviously, as you guys are aware, part of it was your capital outlays. encourage you to some bigger projects, and as of June 30th, 2022, you did have it. You had some, but they were not as large or as many as you had in the past. And then the next page, I guess I'd like to highlight is on page 5 of the financials. And so on here is the notes, and it describes the cemetery district and describes its cash basis financial statement. And in note 3, obviously it goes through, it's labeled capital outlay, and that goes through the major expenditures that you guys spent this year for improvements. You finished up, you know, the bathroom projects and did the cremation garden and some office upgrades. And then the next one is note 4, and it's, this one was a change because you guys changed the retirement plan that you had for the employees. And so on this, the first paragraph describes what was there, and the next three paragraphs describe the Wyoming retirement system that you now use, where you have, it came into effect as of October 1st, 2021, and describes how the district contributes 9.37%, the employees have to contribute 9.25% into the retirement plan. And into that retirement plan, the district contributed $5,414. That was your portion of what was contributed to the retirement plan. The notes, like the next page, again, and it goes over, we have to disclose what you have as far as insurance liability and the protections that you have there. We discuss workers' comp, is the hay of that, is that if someone is hurt on the job, is that that's, in a sense, a liability protection for you. And then we disclosed some of the other part of the activities. There was a construction company that did some work in KC for one, and they were paid $1,570. And so I guess that's kind of the footnotes and the number summary on those pieces. Do you have any questions on that part, or any?
Any questions from the board?
I think so.
I don't believe
so. Do you have recommendations that we need to change some of that or something? Or
actually, we don't. I mean, everything is in really pretty good quarter. We went through, we looked to make sure, we don't go and look it through everything, but we looked through several months of bank statements, and all the checks had dual signatures, which is what you guys require. So you guys were, there was nothing out of order there. You guys, the bank statements and the reconciliations and those documents are all being initialed and dated as being reviewed, which is important that, where you can get into trouble is if the bank statement's not being looked at by the board, that's when things can be missed as far as, I didn't realize we paid this much for, this piece of, equipment or this service or that sort of thing. And so by having it initialed and dated, it's proof that, that there were, and most of the bank statements had two people who were reviewing them, initially and dating them. And so you have lots of eyes on everything, which is what is needed. I know in the past we've kind of talked about backup plans, and I know last year that there was discussion about, and Janet talked about what would happen if she, if somehow, she was at commission for, a period of time. I know there was a backup plan there, so I know there are procedures in place to take care of if people are incapacitated, are not able to take care of things for a while, and so we need to make sure those are there. But like I say, everything is in from us looking at the financial records and how the financial records are board and how things are being reviewed are in great shape.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Jenna, did you learn anything from that financial review? Did you see it? No.
All right, I guess we're good there. Any other?
We need approval so I can send it to the Department of Audit.
So I'd make a motion to approve the financial review.
I'll second that.
We have a second. Is there any other further board discussion? Being none, all those in favor of approving the audit signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, no. Do I need to sign it?
Yeah, sure. Maybe if the treasurer and president could just sign that and date it.
Did we have a secretary elected?
Yes.
You are? Okay.
And the
public records custodian
as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you like me to go on with
moving forward with the...
Just to back up for one sec, I know this time of year, and it's on your rolling calendar, to evaluate RFPs for next year. Would you like me to send out those requests?
I'm sorry, I didn't...
It's on the rolling calendar to evaluate RFPs, requests for proposals for next year. I assume we'll need another review. Would you like me to send out those requests?
Yeah,
yes.
Me.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
I will send them to three. Mohat. There's a firm that the county uses out of Casper, and I also send it to CPA here locally. And something else, if it's okay, I put on there. It's just been changed that special districts can report our financial statements on a cash basis instead of an accrual basis. So I will get requests for both costs on both of those, if that's okay.
Great.
Okay, I'll take care of that.
Thank you.
So back to the financial statements. The first page, so this would be before the statements from Mr. Johnson, is the balance sheet. And I'll go into a little more detail just to give you new board members some background. We currently have four different accounts. We have two at First Northern Bank, checking and a money market. The checking is set up to do a sweep at $25,000. So if the balance ever goes below or over $25,000, money from the money market will be automatically swept in there. So we can cover payroll and at any time. But if it goes over, currently it's at $135,000. 110 of that will go into the money market where it's earning a much higher interest rate. And that automatically takes place. So there's nothing the board or we need to do. MBS, that's multi-bank securities. I've worked with them for years. The treasurer's office got us turned on to them years ago. He has two different CDs that he's holding for us, and they're earning 4.5%. And I'm sorry, I forgot to put the maturity date, but I think they're about a year. I will make sure I have the maturity date at the next one. And then the final account we have is WildStar 2, and that's held through the treasurer's office. That rate has done very well, but the last year or so has kind of tanked off, which is why we pursued some other options. The next page is profit and loss detail. That is all the income and expenditures made this month, and that should match up with the vouchers that you guys reviewed and approved. I think that's three pages there. Four pages, sorry. And then the last two pages of the financial statement is the budget versus actual. Just a little background of how I present the report. 41% is how far we are through the fiscal year. The first column will be the current month to date and everything, which is after the previous month, which would be November. The next column is the fiscal year to date. The third column is the budget. The fourth column is what we spent minus the budget, so that's the funds remaining, and then a percentage. A couple things I typically point out, like I said, we are 41% through the fiscal year. There's a few line items on expenditures that we are over 41%. One of them, they're at 116% of the expenditure, so we're a little over budget on that line item. And it's not a big deal unless the whole budget is over. You can go over a line item, but if the entire budget is over budget, then you have to amend things. And then the capital outlay projects are there on the bottom. And then I have just a couple other housekeeping things. First of all, if Grant or if I can get a copy of the minutes and take it down to the bank, First Northern, to get everybody to be signers on the account. So they need the bank minutes, and then they'll make new signer cards. And I'll touch base with CJ and see when those are ready. So we need to get those signed. And then the other thing, in the past, we paid Nancy a travel fee to come up here. If that's something you want to continue to do, can I get a motion so that's recorded in the minutes so I don't have to have a bill every month for that?
Okay. Just a quick comment on that, if I may. Can we defer that in a month? The reason I'm saying Liz, this pertains to you more than anything else. There are times when Nancy wouldn't make the meeting and the check had been written out. So could we go defer it for a month? In other words, for this month, it would be paid in January.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, yeah. And like this month, it wouldn't be paid because I wasn't able to make it.
Yeah, so there wouldn't be a check for you next month, but if you would be at next month's meeting, then there would be a check for you
the following
month. That would eliminate
I think that makes
cutting the check and then having to void the check
if
it's not to be paid.
I think that's smart.
Would that work? Would that work for you, Liz? Would that be agreeable?
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
And then if I can just get the amount recorded, we were paying Nancy. I did a little bit of math. 62.5% is the federal rate. 42 miles from KC to here, so 52.50 or 50 or whatever you want. Just if I can get documentation, what I should be paying.
It's been in the past. It's been 50. Right. And it would work out for more than that, and it probably going to continue to cost more and more. Is there a recommendation by any of the board members as to do we want to increase that to $55?
Price of gas
is
going down.
I see. Keep it as it is.
Yeah.
We can keep it as it is.
Keep
then
it
we can
together.
Address it later on if
it is, yeah.
Market goes to heck.
So we keep it at $50.
So I would make a motion to pay $50 travel fee for KC to be paid the month after for board members traveling from KC.
I'll second the motion.
The motion has been seconded. So there's been a motion that we would pay the $50 and that it would be deferred for 30 days or for the month until the following month. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying no. There being none, the motion carries.
Do we need to make a motion to approve the financial report also?
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
So I would make a motion to approve financial report.
Motion to approve the financial report been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed signify by saying no. There being none, the motion carries. Sections, we'll move on to the sections report. Brad, you have the floor.
Thank you. Quick overview. Formed interviews for the deputy sexton. And we were able to hire the deputy sexton. He started on the 5th of December, so he's not reflected on this report. But there was some work that went into getting him hired on. So I would like to take a moment to welcome Paul Kozacek as our deputy sexton. He's hit the ground running, so he's doing a good job already. So I'm looking forward to some good days ahead. Systematically, I went through all the buildings and the sheds and through all the equipment that we have. And so I went through and tried to get an assessment on the current conditions of our facilities and our equipment. And I tried to come up with a comprehensive list of what they needed. It's not very in-depth, as in I didn't get into any motors or anything, but just kind of an overview. And then I tried to develop some plans on how we're going to address the issues that I found. And I have that report if you're interested. I can give that to you, but that's a pretty extensive report. I have given that to the deputy sexton, but that'll be in the future how we're approaching that. So, and then I began the process of deep cleaning all the facilities. We're in desperate need of that. We have already in November, before I even was able to get the help of the deputy sexton, I'd already was able to purge, well, probably at least a full truckload of garbage, just old things. Some things have been sitting back on shelves, accumulating for over a decade, some of that stuff, broken tools, things like that. So I started to deep clean the purge of our facilities, and so we look forward to being able to finish that next month through December. I was able to get the heating system for the ground so that we can do burials in the winter. That was kind of sitting back in the weeds and growing over, and I got that out, and it's pretty much going, but there's still some things we need to work on with that system. So, and then I was able to acquire quotes from multiple insurance providers. You'll find that in your board packet. There's several packets of different quotes for different projects. The insurance project will have to be addressed this month because that expires the last day of this month. So that took a little bit of a work to get that. There's a lot of questions and things. And so those packets that you have with the insurance quotes, I did not give them too many details. If I could help it, I just wanted kind of a blanket application because each one of those quotes can be altered. We can ask to add things or take things, some things away. And so, but that, what you have is kind of basically what they wanted, felt like we needed. And so we can look at those and adjust them accordingly.
We're kind of up against the wall on those
right
insurance codes, so we're going to have to make that decision today.
Yeah. Okay. And our current policy sent us a termination notice because they weren't going to cover residences. I was able to contact them and say, we don't have a residence here. We turned that into office space. And so they sent us a rescission. You'll see the rescission notice on your board packet. So technically, our old policy, we could just continue it, but our agent suggested that we probably should, because there's probably that fire group is going through a lot of adjustments and changes, and it's likely that we're going to run into more issues in the future, similar to the one we just kind of, the hurdle we just kind of put, got through. So that was the point of getting the other.
What is the current?
United Fire and Casualty Company. And you'll see that is the top because they did reissue us a quote. So the top quote is our current policyholder. And then there's three following that, quotes from different other companies that you can look at. And our part-time employee book work almost didn't exist. So I tried to set down and come up with a systematic format for recording employees, what they're doing, what hours they're doing it, and when they start, when they finish, and coming up with a file system to record what our part-time employees are actually accomplishing. And so I worked on that and was able to hand some of those spreadsheets and packets to our Deputy Sexton now. So I spent a little time trying to develop that system. The previous system was basically a wall calendar with initials and how many hours they worked that day. That was it. And so, and it wasn't very, it just, obviously it wasn't very comprehensive. So I think going forward, this new system is going to be very, very much
so. What does the new system require daily from our part-time employee?
Well, this.
How much time are they, I'm just wondering, like, are they going to have to spend as much time recording what they did as what they were doing?
The system that I've developed was basically there's a 1-inch 3-ring binder, and we can put spreadsheets in there that have job descriptions and also times that we want them to address those projects, and then they can sign in for the times that they are working on that project, and then just so basically they just have to sign in between projects or at least update at the end of the day, so we know. Because what that does is that's going to help us keep track of who's working on what project for how long. And then at the end of the year, they have a 3-ring binder with all the records in it, and we can drop that into a file, and it's good to go.
It's a good accountability for the person, and it's good for your performance evaluation.
Yes, exactly. And that's going to help us going forward to reassess what projects take. Like, say, if we spend, you know, say, I'll just pick a wild number, 1,000 hours on Weed Eater, maybe we can figure out a way to streamline that process. So that will help us be a reevaluate our summer work and their effectiveness. So, Cloud the Cemetery.
Is that for Quincy also, or is that just in Buffalo?
We don't have part-time help in KC other than Danette, who already records and sends a report of her work. So, in the event that we use part-time help, we usually just send them from Willow Grove down there in a pickup with the equipment they need. So that would be recorded. All the KC work would be recorded because they're usually Willow Grove employees.
Okay. Well, I haven't talked to Danette about this or anything, but I just didn't know, do we have a need for her to track that or... you know, so we know the same information from Danette, like how much time is she spending on weed eating?
Mm. She doesn't typically give us that detailed of a report, just kind of a generalized of her activities. Any employee, like a summer help, we would have a detailed report of, but Danette, we've left that up to her, what she feels is adequate reporting.
So you don't feel a need to do this in KC?
Right now, no, I don't. I feel like it would be covered by our current employees, and Danette hasn't. I haven't had reason to believe that Danette is not performing well there. So in the future, that may come up.
No, I have no reason to believe that your
right.
cemetery looks good.
Yeah, so I haven't. I haven't pressed for more detailed reports from her.
Okay.
I do have from Danette a wish list, so just a heads up, that's going to be coming down the pike. I have a list of things. I talked to her over the summer several times about what she'd like to see there. I feel like she's probably the best person to give us feedback about the operations there. So there's going to be some requests coming down the line with that. In fact, one of our estimates is for a heater system in the shop down there. They don't have a heat system other than one room, I think, where the water system is. But you'll see that, see those estimates, and it'd be good to get some decisions to go forward with that in the future. We plowed snow twice last month. Fortunately, they were too deep, but they were definitely made the hill kind of exciting. So it should be available. And we tried to plow it out today so that the board members many times will just kind of drive a loop up there. But with the wind, I can't guarantee it stayed plowed out. So we tried to prep that, but that'll be on next month's too. And then the updated policy and procedures manual for the new board members. Each new board member should get a folder like this that should be updated. I have two for the other board members when they come in. So you can take that home, and then at the end of your term, you just hand that back to us, and we'll re-up it. There will be a quiz.
We talked about an electronic form. Is that something that you're still in the works?
Yes, that is. You'll see on the anticipated project for December. Yeah. There, I have that listed to create a digitized copy, and that's basically I'm going to have to scan all this in. I've looked for typed up reports, and it's been pieced together from so many sources that it's really hard to come up. So if I just scan those all in, at some point I will be able to provide that. So, and we will, as we update it through the year, we'll just simply give you the updates, and you can add them into the folder that you take home with you. And then the anticipated project for December is to follow through on approved estimates, and you have those estimates in hand now. Continue training with our deputy sexton and address issues with our front gate. I've already started on that. It's not closing, and some of the remotes aren't working. We're just having issues with it, and the keypad isn't functioning right. So I had a company come and look at it, and they said the batteries are, it's a remote system, so it has a battery bank that charged through a solar system. The battery bank on both gates are not putting out the amperage that they're supposed to. And so is what that's doing is it's the electronics will start to operate and then they quit when they run out. And so then that just leaves the electronics kind of haywire. So they're going to start by replacing those batteries. That we'll do that this next month.
Did you contact the original installer?
There was two installers.
In other words, is there any warranty? Is there any?
I haven't found any, and I have contacted the.
It hasn't been that long since. Well, none of you would know, but it hasn't been that long since we had that electronic gate installed. A year, maybe.
Oh, really? That soon?
2 years, maybe. It's been 2 years. Okay, so
they might be under warranty.
They're probably no warranty then.
I haven't specifically asked. But I could. That's probably a. I just assume.
Well, it wouldn't hurt to call the company and install it. And just quiz them and see if.
Yeah. I did contact. There's two people that worked together on the Turk, I think, welding, built all the metal framing. Then another company came in and did the electronics. So they're the ones that I called to come and look at it, but I didn't ask if they were actually covered it. I assumed that if it did.
So the original company is involved.
Yes. Okay. Adam Sheridan. So I usually try to shop local if possible, but I don't always have the option. So
if a car is inside and gets locked in, just missed them, does it open up for them to leave?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a sensor on there, so you can always get out. All right. But you can only get in during certain hours.
Right. Okay.
And those hours change throughout the year because it's technically it's like a dawn to dusk.
Right.
But we haven't been able to adjust it this fall because of the malfunctions we've had. So
okay.
Hopefully we'll get that
Because it could be me that gets trapped.
Yeah. Don't have to worry about that.
Gonna,
you're not going to get trapped. Thing. Right now they're stuck open, so that's not going to happen. So, and then the KC report there on the next page, you'll see that. I was able to get Danette to commit to transferring some of our old documents to the SIMS program in KC. We had all those in hand, and we're struggling getting that SIMS accomplished, download, that data entry accomplished, and Danette was able to take some of those and do that, so I appreciate that. And you'll see that there. And let me go through that list there. She helped with the hook prints of the past museum, looking for older graves, and she's done pretty well at keeping in contact and keeping us, keep me updated. And I haven't been down there since snow, but I have confidence she's kept it clear. The SIMS report you'll see on the next couple pages, that is a lot of just data that I'll let you just kind of read through. And I typically have a year-to-date overall view, but I'm not seeing that in my board packet. Perhaps you do. If you don't, I can give you that before you leave. So.
What does SIMS stand for? I'm sorry, I don't have those documents right in front of me, so.
It's a cemetery information, basically, is a cemetery information management system, is what that stands for.
Okay.
And that SIMS program was voted by the board a couple of years ago as our authority in record keeping. And so the part of the push for the data entry is we have a lot of old records that need basically put into the SIMS program. And that literally just means scanning a page and downloading it. And there's a lot of detailed work there. So ultimately we'll have that accomplished, but it's just going to take some time to work on it.
Is it possible we may want to dedicate more labor to that SIMS program?
Do you still have the your administrative assistant?
I do not.
I forgot her name.
Hope was here for a while, and she helped me, and but she's not available now. So I got her through a temp agency, and she was only maybe two days a week. And she did help quite a bit, but she had other responsibilities to take care of.
So
I don't have.
Do we want to consider going with the temp agency to find some part time help with the SIMS program?
I think that for my suggestion, I think it'd be ideal just for 1 or 2 days a week and just train them simply to do that. And that would take a lot.
Through the temp agency, we could discontinue it once we get it caught up or get it finished. I mean, we've been working on this a long time.
What percentage do you think completion?
That will be in the SIMS report you'll see there. And those, all of this is
a question about what percentage is completed.
Right. How much more input is there till we are caught up?
So you'll see some of those numbers, that data on those reports, the SIMS report there. And that's fairly accurate. Some of those you'll see are done 100%, like blocks, but some of those are as low as the headstones, 22%. I would, and 33%. Those are some rough numbers, and some of those I think might be a little bit high, but they're pretty close. So I think if you kind of step back and just crunched all the numbers, I think it'd be safe to say we're at about 50% as a rough guess. So
my only question is, it being winter like this, mm-hmm. you know, you're not mowing lawn.
Right.
And you shouldn't even be shoveling today, you know, for instance. I agree that a temp would be good, but maybe in this kind of weather, maybe you do have, I don't know, maybe you don't. Mm.
I don't typically do the mowing, so the fact that we're not mowing doesn't impose on the schedule a whole lot.
It didn't help.
My personal schedule.
Okay.
But it would, this last couple months without a deputy sexton, it would have definitely made a difference because I was doing quite a, you know, the deputy sexton job too.
Right.
But, so.
Do you feel you're going to have more time to?
Within a couple of months, I probably am going to, because I have to play catch up now. I have a lot of things on. And then take on the projects of the deep cleaning and our equipment. Every single piece of equipment we have right now is in desperate need of some maintenance. Some of it's just routine maintenance that was never done over the course of multiple years. So any free time I have, I fully anticipate helping our deputy sexton tackle that and get everything up to par. And so I kind of, and planning on when I do get caught up, being over there to help him get caught up. So
do we tolerate being behind? Or,
well, if you go through the temp agency, you can have, then you don't need no justification. You can let go completely. But, you know, like Grant was saying, they got the preventive maintenance on the equipment that's broke. They need to get a lot of work done. We haven't had a deputy sexton for a while, so that's kind of been lagging. That should be a priority right now with the equipment and getting it ready. So.
Is that me?
Yes.
Goodness. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to get the camera to work, and I'm not succeeding.
I might have Barb call you. Call. My battery's about to die here, Sheila, so I'm going to have Barb call you.
Yeah, have Barb.
Oh, now we can hear you.
I think Sheila's on. I think we can hear her on Zoom.
Are you there,
Sheila? Say something, Sheila.
Yeah, we can hear.
We can hear.
Is that Sheila?
Yeah.
Well, I can't tell the difference. So. Can move this along, I guess. Do we want add expenditures?
You got it.
Do we want to increase our expenditures, or the cost of getting this in done?
How long does it take to train someone to do the input?
And what is quality of people are we getting from a temp agency? Like, is that the right way to get the work done?
That's a good question. I think Sims, the element of Sims that really is time consuming is simply data entry, which isn't really a high level skill.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we could probably get by with a temp agent to get just the data entry done, how it's organized and sorted once it's on the computer. I think that's where the skills really kind of come in, an understanding of what's available to the public and what's not.
Plus the added advantage of discontinuing the contract at any time. In other words, once we would get caught up on this.
Yeah, get caught up.
So if we could have the same temp person.
Yeah.
And not have to reframe them.
Yeah, that would make a big difference. Because it could take several days before they become very proficient at the data entry.
And it's important data. That's my other concern. It's important data. When we're moving people in and out, do we trust that they're doing an accurate job? I get it's just data entry, but, you know, there are a lot of errors that are made with data entry, and is it that important? So it's one of the biggest sources of human error, right, is transposition in data entry. So I get it's mind-numbing work, but it's also important work, and worries me the quality of
the and I think once we spit off the deputy sexton, I better free up some time for Grant too. So
yeah, it may just be give it a month and
so
see.
Yeah, just let's
no, kind of I need to hold off. Yeah.
We just kind of
sounds good.
We're not saying no.
Unfinished business for next month's agenda. We'll
okay.
Revisit it.
Yeah. I think I'm finished.
Anything else?
Thank you.
I think that's all.
I want to, right now, just quickly, I want to mention to the board that I feel that the Sexton's report is probably a pretty important part of the business that we do at these meetings. So I'm going to allow Grant probably more time than you may think. Sometimes you may think it's taking too long, but it's a pretty important part of what goes on here with the district, and so I'm going to allow and have Grant do more of the presentations and updates on what we're doing here, because he's basically day to day, week to week, month to month, getting the work done. So we get, so just as a, what would you call it, for your information. So
don't let that get carried away.
Oh, I try to keep it where it's just kind of an overview. Try not to bore you with details.
The same with the treasurer's report. The treasurer's report will be a little more extensive than any other work we do here too also. So okay, now we'll move on to the guest presentations at this time. And the bids, and these bids are you've got the packet. Let's see, we need to get into this insurance. We need to get this insurance taken care of.
Well, I was looking at some of the insurance, and we got what, three quotes, Grant?
Yes, sir.
And plus the one,
plus the
United
carrier.
Is a three with United.
Three plus United. Should be an Acuity, a Weaver.
CoreLogic.
United Climate, that's how old, that's who, right? So
CoreLogic.
What did the, my understanding was the insurance agent said there was significant savings to be had from a different company, and can you report on what he presented to you?
He really didn't say about the savings. His concern was the changes in United Fire and Casualty that they're making. Some of it was they were trying to streamline for commercial applications, and so he didn't feel like some of those changes, like one of the things they're dropping all residences, I think they're dropping personal owned vehicles and only covering fleets and things like that. He felt like some of the changes that they were making would make it hard for us to fit under their umbrella. And so that it wasn't necessarily the financial side of it. It was more about whether we were going to struggle in the future trying to maintain them as an insurance agent.
Well, when I go through these, I find it really difficult to try and compare.
Yeah, it's...
Well, where's the premium for this CoreLogic,
That's what I haven't found yet. And there's a lot of information on all these.
And I think Grant did on the insurance. Did they look at the one so they could compare it to United Fire and Casualty, like for the same?
I provided the same information and then just let them come up with whatever they thought was
the best. So basically, they're looking off of the United Fire, make it compatible to each other.
Yeah. So basically, most of what they wanted was how many drivers, or number and type of equipment.
But I haven't found it on the CoreLogic.
I'm not seeing it there either, actually.
But the only one,
and they
what I see is Weaver is about the lowest bid. Now, the only thing I can say about Weaver is a lot of your organizations here in town, the BFW, the Legion, and in Sheridan, we've used them. And they give the veterans, and in this case, you know, they're veteran affiliated, they give us the best rates. And from what I've talked to other people, they've been good. If they've had a claim, they've been on it. But so Weaver is good.
Are you guys okay if we talk to the insurance agent on speaker?
Wait, this is Weaver?
No, this is no. Jake Jones from North Wyoming.
Jake Jones.
Oh, okay.
I'm the only one at my office, so I've only got a minute.
Yeah,
so
that's right. You're on speaker with the whole board here. With,
the
could
whole
you just,
board is there. Okay.
Just run us through the policies and what your recommendation was?
Well, I got to pull it up here. Do you guys have any questions? I mean, so the board has been, the senator has been with United Fire since probably long before I was here. They were going to non-renew the cemetery district this year because they're not renewing a lot of stuff in Wyoming. But they decided to stay on it because that the house is no longer being lived in. It's office remodel. So they did offer the renewal quote. It was a bit higher. When they non-renewed it, I did start looking for another carrier just to find a competitive quote. I found Acuity, who is a more regional carrier, just like United Fire is. I did, with Acuity, revise some of the building limits, which I sent to Grant. He should have an attachment. And an email I sent him with some revised building limits, where I think we need to be on replacement costs for the structures around the grounds. And Acuity is a cheaper premium as well, with even with those increased building limits. That's the way I would suggest we go, to save the district a little bit of money and it's better coverage. I could run through it real quick if you need me to, at building by building, but that's up to you guys.
Well, what is the bottom line as far as the premium with Acuity?
With Acuity, let me pull this up here. Sorry, I wasn't.
It's
wasn't
like
really
11,270.
Let me pull it real quick.
Yeah,
it's about the third page. Yeah.
So Acuity's total premium is $11,200, but we'll take $320 of that is for terrorism coverage, which I suggest that the board declines, so we can get that down to.
Under 11,
yeah, just under 11 there. United Fire, let me pull that up. They were, the renewal offer was over 12. So we did say.
And does this insurance cover both cemeteries?
Yes, KC and Buffalo, yes.
And then, did you submit the Weaver quote, or was that from
someone? They sent that to me like literally an hour before board meeting, so I haven't even gotten through the Weaver quote yet, to be honest with you. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't really get any of that. There was.
So between the two policies, you feel like we're getting more coverage from Acuity for a cheaper premium?
Well, I know you are, because I increased the building values with Acuity. I did not bother doing that with United Fire just because the premium was already lower with Acuity with the increase in the coverage on the buildings.
Now, did you get a chance to look at the Weaver quote?
That was from somebody else. Oh, Grant.
Okay,
yeah, I have no idea who that is. Well, I do know who it is. It's agency insured.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thanks, Jake.
Yep, you bet.
What was Weaver's quote?
You said Weaver's was 10. 10, I went over 10. That's a cheap, is what I found.
$10,425,
yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. And then with Acuity, with that 300 terrorist deduction, Weaver's still cheaper.
Weaver was 10.
Four, two,
but does
five.
It cover, does the Weaver cover the same amount as the Acuity one does?
Yeah, we'd have to look at. We, you know, we got the quotes we're looking at, but you know,
there's a lot in it.
We've got to
recur the first of this month.
Yeah.
Actually, we've got till the end of this meeting to get this done. So.
I would make a motion to go with Acuity Insurance or North Wyoming, the local insurance agency for insurance.
I would second that.
Okay, there's been a motion to accept Acuity as our insurance carrier. And a second. Is there any other further board discussion?
I just wish we had time to further look into the, but we don't.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We can do this later, but we need to have coverage.
Yeah.
So, there's been a motion and a second to accept Acuity. Any other board discussion at this time? There being none, all those in favor of using Acuity as our new carrier signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed signify by saying no. There being none, the motion's carried.
I'll get an invoice, get the check written.
Okay, we'll take care of that. So now we'll get back to the guest presentations or the bids. Seeing as how we're running up against the wall a little bit here on the time, I would recommend that we would once again move that to.
Is there someone here to give guest presentations? And
no, there is no one.
This has to be a packet of
these packets, and I'd like the other board members to take these home and review, have an opportunity to review them. So let's table that until.
Can we give a little background for our sakes on some of these real quick?
Pardon me?
Can we give a little background on what the intention was? I mean,
background, you mean?
Right, as we're reviewing them. So surveillance system, what was the plan that we were going to do?
So the surveillance system,
okay, I'm going to when it comes to tech.
You see that there will be three quotes from the surveillance systems. What they're basically designed to do is to cover the shop area as well as the office space areas outside, and also to monitor the gates so they can keep track of basically license plates coming and going. We haven't had too much trouble, but we have had a few incidents. I think that's just going to be normal.
What kind of incidents?
Well, just things coming up missing. People having access to buildings that I've come in to work and lights were on that I know had turned off when I left. That was a little unusual. We did have a funnier incident is we had a situation where someone tried to jump the ditch out here. That was interesting. We had to get a tow truck to get them to pull their vehicle back out of the ditch, and just nothing really major, but
just some we had locks were tampered with.
Mm-hmm. We had some locks tampered
stuff
with.
Off inside the lock, so you try to open up the gate.
Destroyed several padlocks.
So with that, are you looking to get on-site storage of your data, off-site storage? What?
These estimates will give you options.
Okay.
I think we most up-to-date systems now are going to have both.
Mm-hmm.
And they will also have remote surveillance, as in the cell phone for the office here will be able to access that as a live feed on some of these, most of these. So where they place the cameras and the quality of the cameras vary between companies, and you can see that reflected there.
Okay. I think that's enough for me to understand what the goal was when I reviewed those.
That's on the surveillance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so,
website.
The website, right now, we are simply relying on the county website, and it's very, very difficult to work with. They've struggled with keeping it updated. And I'm not pointing a finger at anybody by any means. I think some of it's just, it's time consuming, it's difficult. We've never been able to get the email link on the county website to work for us. If someone goes to the county website and clicks on it, it's never given them email for us. Right now, last month, on a Saturday, there's listed like 5 different burials that happened that day. There's only 2. I sent numerous emails to the point I'm almost embarrassed to bug them anymore. So I think a website, having our own website, resolves several issues. We can still have a link connecting to our website from the jobs. We still have representation on the county website, but it'll be a lot more versatile. We can post pictures. We can put forms for people to fill out on our own website that we can't do that. And we can put a link to our email that's going to work. And it's only $200 to set one of these up. I think it's a smart move. And it gives
us
a
one-time cost.
Yes, some of them will have a maintenance. Some of those will have a maintenance, but it's not much a year. A yearly, and it's not much.
I guess I would, Liz and Sheila, you probably do not have these packets, do you?
I sent them in emails a few minutes ago.
You did send me an email, and I saw it in there, but it's a different kind of file, and I was a little afraid to try to download stuff on my Chromebook to open it, so I will do that later. But while we're talking about that, I was wondering if we, and Grant, this would probably be, you know, more on you, but if the board could get, like, the packet maybe a few days ahead of time before the meeting, then we could preview a lot of this stuff, and it might speed up our meetings a little bit. Is that a possibility? I don't want to put too much on you, but...
Right. No, that's, you know, that's like fine. These were actually available several months ago, and so they've been around a while. They just haven't been...
And I might add, with the transition of boards and whatnot, it's just going to, just going to be...
You know, this packet that you obviously put together, like, you could just email that, just like you did. You emailed this file to me. I'm just saying do it a few days ahead of time, and that would give every one of us board members a chance to pull it up, preview what we're going to be discussing, preview bids, you know, all that kind of stuff, and we'd just be a little more up to speed and wouldn't be just trying to look at it right there. It's the first time we've seen it.
Okay, everyone will have an opportunity to go through these packets, because we've tabled this, Liz. We've tabled this until next month's meeting. So we'll.
The only one I see that maybe we shouldn't table is the Casey Heater, but that would be one board member's opinion.
I think.
I mean, if we're talking a winter season, then
we'll see for that.
But.
That makes sense.
So what I see is, and Grant, I don't know if you're able to speak to this.
There should be 4 estimates there in your packet. Some of those are for a gas heater, some of those are for an electric heater. The gas heaters are cheaper, but then we'll have to install a tank of some kind. We don't have gas plumbed to that building right now. The electric... would be
the water closet.
It's just a small space heater there.
Electric.
Yeah, electric, yep.
I thought there was a propane tank sitting there.
Not that I know of.
Even though the installation of the propane would be cost money now, over time, would we be better off with gas than electricity?
The only thing, if electricity goes out, unless you got backup, you know, gas probably better.
And over time, it would be cheaper.
Propane doesn't always work without electricity either.
Right.
And the blowers don't work. I mean, all you have is a flame.
It's also not going to be used all that often, I wouldn't think.
So one thing I've noticed, if we want to heat that shop, is it's not insulated. And so I'm thinking we just need something that will heat it while Danette is working there. That would make it more practical. Unless we insulate the shop, there's,
Are you sure it's not insulated?
I love that shop.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's insulated. Yeah.
It's insulated?
They think it is.
I believe the shop is insulated.
I just saw a metal. It looked like the same metal that's on the outside. I don't think it's insulated.
It's, I would have to ask Danette how much time she spends in it. I don't know.
Yeah. I really don't think it is. It's something I kind of noticed while we were looking around there, so.
It is. Mr. Jorgens is indicating that it is indeed insulated.
Yeah, I've been out there. It's insulated.
Metal sheathing on both sides.
But in between.
Yeah.
They put metal sheathing on both sides? Okay. Yeah. Well, but they did.
But
that makes a difference to now and but I'm still not sure we need to heat it constantly.
I'm wondering if
it would probably.
Well, we have discussed building a cubicle, an office cubicle, to heat. That way, people doing business out there this time of the year or any time of the year would have a separate space to do their work. The board has discussed that in the past, and I believe that heat would be concentrated on that cubicle or office. We talked about a cubicle simply so that heat could we could heat other parts. I mean, it would partially heat the main building also, but the heat would predominantly be in the cubicle itself.
How big is this building?
40 by 30 or something.
Yeah.
Probably about that.
Yeah.
1,200
square feet. And your desk is just in the corner of it.
I've done a little bit of work on trying to develop a cubicle space because the desk is in the far corner, and anybody that comes in there is walking between mowers and tractors to get back to try to process that. And so
the office needs to be as you come in the front door.
Yeah.
It's right there, and a little bit separated right there. So.
But doesn't, I mean that we don't need some sort of heater in the garage itself. If you wanted to thaw something out to start it or whatever. I mean, $791 for an electric heater in the garage part of the office that we can just get going seems like a relative no-brainer to me, but
I think that makes a lot of sense, and I'm just kind of going by, like, I know at the bottom hall, there's no water, so that would be similar to this office, and we just turn it on when we're going to have something there, and then we can shut it off because it's electric. And so that works really well.
782, I should say, from Bighorn Electric. And Ruby Electric, it looked like, was the other one that gave that electric only, and it was 1,071. And they don't specify what kind of electric heater they're putting in.
I think the difference there is that the Bighorn, the scope of work, if you look at that carefully, it's provided to install a 20-amp conduit dedicated heater circuit and receptacle. So this price would be tacked on the price of a heater, because if we put an electric heater in there, we're going to have to wire that all the way to the breaker box, install an extra breaker, a designated breaker for the electric heater. So that is to update our electrical system so that we could install an electrical heater. So that's why
that's just for the labor for the install electric.
That's not the way
I read it. It says provide and install a dedicated heater circuit and dedicated to your circuit and receptacle.
He just okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just receptacle and circuit breaker. But it doesn't say nothing about heater.
It says provide and install, so they're thinking about installing the heater.
Well, I mean, why would we get a bid that's
I know.
But the way I read it is provide and install. They're going to provide the material for the electrical the conduit and all that and install it for $782. But it doesn't say.
When you requested the bid, what did you ask for?
Didn't have requested those bids.
We don't know.
And so I, and she seemed to struggle with it a little bit. So there's a good chance of a communication system.
So it would sound like we're not ready to.
No.
Okay. Brush room.
Yeah, like keep a ones.
Okay. So the other bids will table until next month's meeting. So moving forward. Now we get to unfinished business, or old business. The insurance, we've covered that. I'm going to recommend that we table this deer fence and resurfacing that Adams addition, those roads. Pretty tough to do that this time of the year. We've been kind of kicking this around for quite some time now, so I would suggest that we just table these issues until this spring. If that's acceptable, I mean,
yes.
Sheila or Liz, you have anything to add?
No.
Okay. Then we come to that Sheridan funeral home letter.
I asked to put that on because I attended the meeting where Carrie Kimmel was here, and then she obviously left unhappy, and she sent the letter to the board, and I have copies here. I just think that we need to we have to really play nice with our other agencies, and this is one of them. And I felt like there's no satisfaction for her. I think that, and I will volunteer if you want to do this, at least write a letter of acknowledgement to her. I felt she left here just totally not listened to. I'm not saying she was, but that's how she left here, was not listened to. And she was very frustrated because she didn't get to say everything she wanted, and that she outlined it in the letter. But I think she deserves a response from us. I don't know how you guys feel.
I mean, I guess, you know, she was heard by the board at the time. You know, I would like to move forward as a board with new issues and kind of focus on a clean slate and not dig up items from the past necessarily. But
she felt she wasn't listened to.
Well, I think that we now have the opportunity as the board when that happens the next time, as the new board, whatever,
okay.
As members on the board, to acknowledge people's concerns when they come to us
okay.
And address them. But I don't feel like it's our responsibility as a board, as a new board, to try to go back on the actions of the previous boards, especially with one-time items, but that's just my opinion.
Okay.
And I agree, because I thought, John, when they brought it up, I thought, because we made some changes on the paperwork, and I thought she was okay with it when she left, because the question was asked, what can we do to improve or make it better, and I'd have to look at the minutes, but
I remember that too. There was something on there that she agreed to.
Yeah. But
and I'm okay, Luke, with, and I understand. And
we agreed. The board at the time agreed. Just real quick, the board at the time agreed in good faith to return the opening and closing fees.
Uh-huh.
That was done in good faith. Do you feel she wants a letter indicating that?
I'm not saying that she wants one.
Okay.
I just feel like it's unfinished business. And maybe it's just me, and I can let that go.
Yeah.
But I just felt like I needed to at least
because
mention
there's it. Some things like number two on the back, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
I was called out there that night, and I took a picture presenting them to the board. At the time, they said the casket was crooked. Casket, you look down the side, it was straight in.
Okay.
The other thing at the time was a bunch of dirt on it. If I wanted to pull the ball cover off, it's clean. And then we talked to Mr. Tip. I did the next day. He was happy, and I recommended to the board that we not charge the fee, and he was happy with that. So,
okay, and I'm fine with that, Dave.
So,
I just wanted to do my due diligence and just mention it. And if you guys think that it's
I think
we can move forward.
Start with a clean slate.
Okay,
because we did make changes, as far as communications that on paperwork and with the family. So, it should be,
Any other board discussion on this? We'll move forward. I don't believe there's no action to be taken at this point, so we'll go ahead and move forward.
I just felt the need to mention
it,
and I did.
We'll be noted in the minutes.
All right.
Okay, now we get on to our group business. Okay, reassessing the Saturday burial fee. I've been trying to figure out how we do this. I think what basically is we just take a motion. We have a motion to rescind that part of our fee schedule.
Okay, I would like to move that we rescind the $400 Saturday burial fee.
Second.
You second that. Is there any other board discussion?
I got something. Okay, it's $400 fee. Okay, but why did we go to the $400 fee? It was due to what?
It was to cover
expenses.
Cover the expenses. The main object was to cover
the time and a half
expenses.
Expenses.
I always looked at it from the very beginning that there was three separate issues we were dealing with that $400. One being the expense to the taxpayers, to the district. Another being that to allow the employees the ability to schedule their time off. It can be difficult with Saturday burials. Grant and I went through a situation during Thanksgiving. He wanted an extra day off. He could not schedule that extra day off until he knew for sure there would not be any burials on that Friday after Thanksgiving, and so we set it. If there would have been nothing by Wednesday evening, odds are there wouldn't have been a burial on Saturday. So that was the second issue that we kind of dealt with. That's part of our obligation also as a board to keep our employees happy. And the third issue was we're responsible for the mourners, for the family and whatnot, make it as easy for them as we can also. And so that was that we worked through all that and came up with the $400. In a sense, it's a deterrent, I guess you might call it that. It sounds cruel, but if there is a fee, how many times would people opt not to bury on Saturday if they would have to pay the $400. And over the period of time, we've kept track, well, we know how many Saturday burials we've had and whatnot. And so basically, that's my take. That kind of breaks down how the previous board looked at it, and I'm hoping that I've covered everything there. That was the reasoning that we choose to go that route. And so there's been a motion. That's the, for any other further discussion.
Well, and I was one of the people who as per the former board's request to do the petition to see just about how many people, and it's overwhelmingly nobody wanted it. Sure, there are some people who don't care, but they're probably not going to be buried here anyway.
So there's been a motion to rescind that fee, and it's been seconded.
I think you brought up three separate issues. The only one that we have really addressed with the $400 fees is the expense to the taxpayers. Employees' time to schedule off, I would expect when you take a job at the cemetery, you know they're open 6 days a week, that's part of what you come in here understanding. It's like when I take a job at an ER, I know they're open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and that I'm going to work Christmas some years, I'm going to work, Thanksgiving, and it's just part of the expectation when you come in. Certainly that expense to taxpayers, I don't think we should be subsidizing it more than others, and so I think we as a board have some work to do. That was some of my frustration, I think, that wasn't addressed the last time this came up, was, what are we doing about that? And I know you guys had those before it became a real public issue, but after it became a public issue, I don't think we did a good job of addressing what are some alternatives to just trying to discourage people to bury their loved ones on a Saturday. So, say my piece, that was what I had.
So we've had a motion, a second, and a discussion. Those in favor of the motion to rescind the Saturday burial fee, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
I'll be the go. Nay. Okay. I'm looking out for the taxpayers.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that's what our job here is.
The vote's been cast, so. I believe it was 4-1. I believe the vote. Did Liz? Did I hear your vote? Was an aye.
Yes, you did. Aye.
So the vote is 4-1.
Can we ask our sexton to maybe come up for some proposals to take care of our employees, and also, now that we've rescinded this fee,
there are
to take care of the time off.
What you addressed, we did make different, we have different fees. For example, there's $125 paying, Grant, help me out here, what's it called?
Open and closed for non-citizens.
For anyone that comes in to work on a Saturday gets for a funeral. A burial gets $120. I believe it's $125.
Part-time right? Help gets $125, $150 to come in on Saturday to do this.
Yeah.
Full-time help only. We get time and a half.
Yeah. So we did create. So we did have some solutions to the money issue. And with two people working here now, we always have that they can alternate being on call like you.
Yeah.
They can all, and that's what we kind of work toward too. We also work toward that. So there, we have done some. The board had done some things to address those issues as far as the cost and.
So now we'll need to reinstate some of those, right? Because those have the, now as it stands right now before this vote, those procedures were not in place and they need to be we need to put them back in place. So what I'm saying is let's have Grant make a couple different proposals of how to do this. Like, I'm thinking if someone works on Saturday, maybe they don't have to work on another day during the week. They could take another day off.
Liz, you misunderstood. Those wages are still in place. Simply because we rescind the Saturday burial fee does not negate that. The money paid is still in place. The time and a half is in place. With two employees here, the ability to alternate or to be on call is still in place. But though that hasn't been rescinded.
Okay.
So.
But how we address the financial issue, is that what we need to do?
Liz, that does cover the, I mean, well, you mean the financial issues toward the district you're talking about?
Yes.
The liability
payment.
No, it doesn't. It's my understanding, after seeing the petition, that the public is perfectly willing to pay for that.
Okay.
And that's my look at it. I mean, I'm looking at it from that point. If you know, the public said they didn't want it, that would indicate that the public is willing to, the taxpayer is willing to foot the bill for those Saturday burials. We can, if there are other options, we can discuss them. I don't think we need to do that today.
No, I'm fine. We can.
I think it's been rescinded. Exactly how we go about doing that now, Grant, as far as you will have to, do we have to amend our fee schedule? I believe we'll have to have an amendment to amend it.
Probably, because of part of policy and procedures.
Yeah, so we'll have to amend the policies and procedures. So if you would put together
develop rewording of policy and procedure to accommodate for this change.
Yeah. And then we would have to vote on that amendment next month.
But I think that, I mean, if we want to dig it up and reword it now, but I think as of right now, we're not charging families a $400 fee. Is that what we're all in agreement with, based on that vote?
That's fantastic. Yes, okay. Yes.
I'm a little bit interested. You mentioned using alternative methods for discouraging, for lack of a better term.
I don't want to discourage anyone. That's an absolute no.
Well, you mentioned that there were perhaps, maybe we can talk about it later.
Yeah, I mean, I think,
I'm just interested in what those might be, because I'm going to have to juggle schedules probably a little more in the future.
The question is whether it actually deterred people from burying their loved ones on Saturday or not. My guess would be it didn't. The view to the community that we don't want to be open 6 days a week, I mean, I think that that's a question. If as a board we don't feel like we want to be here and available to people that are mourning and want to bury their loved ones 6 days a week, then that's a decision we need to make. We don't need to punish the people that wanted to bury someone on a day that we're open. I think we can talk about work schedules. And one of the things that was never kind of clear to me in all of that discussion that was had by the board at the time was, why are we not able to do a five-day-a-week schedule for you guys and have it out in advance? I wanted to come with you and do an opening and a closing, so I understand the work that goes into that. And so, some of those things, I don't understand the issue fully right now, but I will say an $8,000 budget in a $1.4 million, I mean, the financial impact to the district is not significant based on those numbers. So.
All right.
I guess I'm still curious about the methods for deterring that you referred to. We can talk about
that. He doesn't want to deter.
Are you wanting to deter people from using the cemetery on Saturday? Is that what your question is?
We are open on Saturdays.
Okay. So what's your question?
I'm on call on Saturday, but typically my question is, you mentioned using alternative methods to deter people from Saturday burial fees or Saturday burials. rather than just imposing a fee.
I don't want to deter. So if I said that, I misspoke.
I thought perhaps that you had some ideas that we could work with and go.
That's
go
it. I absolutely don't want to. I want people to be able to use it when they want to bury their loved ones.
Sure.
I think that's what overwhelming the community wants, based on the fact that we're sitting in these seats and the fact that so many people signed that petition. And so absolutely not. So if I said I want to discourage people from using the cemetery on Saturday, if that's what you're saying, I said that's not what I meant to say, so I apologize for that. Okay.
I'm fairly neutral on the subject.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out what's the best option for trying to make the adjustments
on
the
move
around.
Sure. It's been rescinded.
Yeah.
Meeting times.
So I just asked if that was put on there. I'm one voice, but a 2 o'clock meeting on a Tuesday is a pretty tough time, for the community to attend. The later on in the afternoon we can move that, the better. I think for attendance from people that actually work and have lives outside of here that want to be involved, that's one of the things we heard in our roundabout discussions with the community. So I don't know when we reevaluate meeting times.
Never had that I know of. It's been 2 o'clock since I've been on the board. My thoughts are, I've always thought the 2 o'clock. This is why I thought it was 2 o'clock, so the employees would not have to pay time and a half to our employees to be here. After their 4 o'clock, I believe you shut down around 4 o'clock.
Usually,
that correct?
No, yeah, close to 4.
And that was my understanding. I have no idea why that 2 o'clock time frame is there.
Grant, I'm sorry, I should know this, but are you a salaried employee or an hourly employee?
It's technically both. So I'm salaried up to so many hours, and then over those hours I become hourly.
Well, that's a better deal than I got as a teacher. And I bet Bob as a principal, too, yeah. Because once we were on salary, then there were duties that we were expected to do outside of working hours, and we were not compensated. So, I really think a salaried employee once a month could attend a meeting without being paid overtime. And that's just my personal opinion, because that's what I've done in the past.
Yeah.
We don't need to, we're getting long in the tooth here, so we can move on.
Yeah.
I think we need to make a decision.
Okay, there's an issue with KC snow removal under new business. Is there any?
Well, let me tell you what I'm talking about there. When we talked to Danette, she had talked about the snow plow that's on the four-wheeler. It's not a four-wheeler, but the side-by-side that she had. But it uses a rope to control the plow. So when she's plowing snow, it's really cumbersome. And that she's got to plow the snow up, get out, pull down the snow plow so it'll dump, and then pull it back up. It's really cumbersome, and I think there's got to be a better system than that. I don't know that it's really a good idea to have someone manhandling that plow full of snow like that. And then Danette could explain that better. And maybe Barb or Sheila or Luke remember more what she said, but I'm thinking there's got to be a better snowplow system to put on that side-by-side.
There's all kinds of options out there. Grant, that's something that you could look into, an electric hoist on the front. I'm assuming that's what it is, the raising and lowering of the plow itself.
That's done
annually.
Plow some up, get out, dump that, and I'm thinking like there could be a winch or something, like you said, a little electric winch or something that could go on there and just take care of that. And, you know, that way her time would be used much more efficiently.
I think that's, Grant, you can work that out. That could come out of what would budget, part of the budget would that come out?
Equipment repair.
Equipment repair or something. Check into an electric winch to mount on the front. If I remember correctly, that's got a kind of got a cow catcher on the front of it that the plow is mounted to. So there's the framework should be there to put an electric winch on that. A 12-inch winch on that.
Okay.
That's something we certainly could.
Yeah, that's the way it gets done.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Grant.
Sure.
Do we need to make a motion for that or just ask her
Unless the Grant can take care of that. Yeah.
Unless the cost exceeds $1,500, we don't need a motion for it.
And you're probably looking at a couple hundred dollars for an electric winch. Yeah. Any other discussion on that? Anyone? Sheila? Sheila, okay. Is there any reason to go to an executive session? Any board member?
We have employee review, performance review annual. Are we ready to do that?
I have not. I've done one quarterly review, and I'm due to do another because of the changeover that we had. First of all, I'm the direct supervisor as the president. I'm the direct supervisor for Grant. And I did a quarterly review in, when was it?
It was either October or November.
Pardon me?
It was either October or November.
Yeah, and I
fairly recent.
Believe we would, that would be done in executive session.
Okay. I guess I would ask that we move into executive session for personnel matters.
Okay.
I made a motion. One person.
A second?
I'll second.
Okay. Motion second. We'll adjourn to executive session. Thanks, John.
Don't forget to vote.
We've got...
You got a motion and second, but you didn't vote, just so.
Pardon me?
You didn't vote.
You need to vote on your motion.
That's right.
Just wanted to make sure.
Any other discussion?
Okay.
All those in favor of moving to executive session signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
Aye.
Wait a minute. Those, you're opposed?
Well,
sorry.
I thought you said aye.
She did.
She did, yeah.
So
I know, I mean, it's you voted to go to executive session.
Yeah, I said aye.
You
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't mind.
Sure.